Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
This is an encouraging set of results. The growth in profits shows that the hard work of recent years is now really bearing fruit. The emphasis on high-margin services and the comprehensive repricing to market levels is boosting our revenues. Meanwhile, in the background, we've been doing a lot of work on our transformation initiatives. These focus firstly on modernising our distribution capability and second on streamlining our operational processes. It's all very encouraging.
The first thing to say is that I think these are a really good set of figures. Our reported profit is up 58.8% to 8.1 million. So I'm really thrilled by that. Paul and I have always said that it would take a long time to turn around Charles Stanley. And the reality is that it's taken us longer than we thought. But it begins to feel to me as though there's a little bit of wind in our sails. And that's thanks to the collective efforts of everybody in the firm. So what's driven that improvement in profitability? So I always start with assets, so let's not break that habit. First of all, discretionary assets have grown by 6.1%, and Charles Stanley Direct's assets have grown by 6.7%. That's the good news. The less good news on our assets is that overall the growth was just 2.1%, and that's because other service categories have either been flat or declined slightly. We know that improving sales is a key task for us ahead, and I think Paul will talk a little bit more about that. Notwithstanding that assets have been up just 2.1%, our revenues have actually increased by 9.9% to 85.4 million. And there have been three things that have really driven that. The first, as I've already mentioned, is the growth of the discretionary assets, because we earn, that's a higher value-added service, so that's helped our mix. Secondly, and the biggest driver has been that we completed the repricing program that we had been doing for 3 years, and that completed at the end of March 2019. And as a consequence of that, our revenue margin has jumped from 62.7 basis points a year ago to 69.8 basis points this year. So that makes a big difference in revenues. And then the third reason for the growth in the revenue is that the financial planning department is really coming through, and they delivered revenues of 11% up. So revenues are doing well. On the other side of the P&L, we have expenditure, and that continues to be well controlled. Overall, expenditure was up 3 million. 2.5 million was staff costs, and that's our biggest cost. And the increase of staff costs, 2.5 million, was predominantly attributable to the increase in variable remuneration, which moves in line with our revenues and profits, so is to be expected. Non-staff costs increased 0.5 million. And that was entirely attributable to the FSCS compensation levy, which more than doubled from 1 million to 2.1 million. Now, that's obviously a cost completely outside our control. Other non-staff costs decreased by 0.5 million. So as a result of revenues being strongly ahead and costs well controlled, our underlying profit is up strongly, 71.9% to £9.8 million. If I move on to the progress on the transformation programme, and I'd like to start by reiterating the guidance that I gave at the full year, which was that we expect the transformation programme in total to cost us approximately £9.5 million over 2 to 3 years, and that we expect to get annualised benefits from it of around £4.5 million, and that guidance stands. In the first half, we've incurred restructuring costs of £1.2 million, and that predominantly relates to the management reorganisation announced in May, and which has given rise to annualised savings of approximately £0.8 million. In addition, we have an adjusting item of £0.5 million for the amortisation of client relationships. That is a non-cash item which we adjust for in common with the rest of the industry. So if you take the adjusting items of 1.7 million from the underlying profit of 9.8 million, we come to the reported number of 8.1 million, which is the increase I referenced earlier of 58.8%. So that's a great result. Furthermore, we end the period, as ever, with a strong balance sheet. So we have regulatory capital resources of 81.1 million, which incorporate or include cash of 77.9 million and a solvency ratio of 206%. So the combination of that really strong balance sheet and the performance in the first half has enabled the board to declare an interim dividend of 3p, which is a 9.1% increase on last year. So to sum up, it's been a good first half. The underlying business is doing much better, and the transformation programme is on track. We expect more from the transformation programme during the second half. That will mean both more cost, but longer term it'll mean more cost savings for the business. So overall, I feel really energised about the direction in which we're going, the progress that we're making, and I'm entirely confident that we should see further good progress in the second half.
To provide more detail on the transformation programme, and starting with sales, the appointment of a group head of distribution has accelerated our modernisation of our distribution capability. The holistic wealth proposition is now much more focused than in the past, and the distribution of our services is properly coordinated. Our marketing efforts are now measured for their return on investment. The sales targets which we set are stretching and achievable, no longer just aspirational. And we're beginning to deliver. Our financial planning revenue targets have been met so far this year. Our model portfolio assets under administration have increased by 27%. We're mobilised and beginning to see true momentum. The second aspect of the transformation programme focuses on operational efficiency, and this covers the length and breadth of the firm. But in the last 6 months, the key focus has been the creation of a single middle office. This enables our investment managers to focus on the key tasks which they have, linking them through to those standard back office functions. Allowing the investment managers more time enables them to focus on delivering to a high level to clients, but in an increasingly profitable way. And we're seeing benefits come through in that area already. If I look ahead to the next 6 months, our focus there is going to be more on the IT side. The legacy approach at Charles Stanley has served us very well. It's been about building and maintaining and running IT inside the firm. But the world's changing in that regard. We want to be able to harness all the possibilities there are out there now for digital transformation. And we feel if we're going to do that, we have to partner with a larger specialist firm. So we have a number of plans which we're exploring right now in order to be able to allow us to do that. And that will enable us to broaden the reach of the digital innovation, which we expect to deliver, shorten the timelines with which we can deliver it, and also, I believe, reduce the risk associated with this particular endeavour. Looking ahead, the outlook for the global economy is probably less well underpinned than in recent times. But having said that, the stance of fiscal and monetary policy remains very supportive. So we believe the prognosis is quite benign. Of course, one has to be prepared for other scenarios, and indeed we are. But our major assumption is that the environment will be supportive both for client returns and also for our business. And against that backdrop, I'm confident that we can continue to make progress for the remainder of this year and indeed ahead into the future.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.